A large batch of news is a real mixed bag, from a sonic boom which caused mystery in our skies to a car parking charge mooted at city parks, an anniversary for City Hall, and lots more, finishing with an inspirational charity story. To top it all, we have what we might call a weight-watching parrot. That needs some explanation. A parrot, who was so overweight she dropped to the ground when she tried to fly, has slimmed down after a crash diet in her new home. Amazon green parrot Bud arrived at the RSPCA's Mid-Norfolk and South Suffolk branch in March 2020 after her owners could no longer take care of her. The 22-year-old bird was extremely obese, thanks to an obsession with crisps. Chloe Shorten, who works at the branch at Ashwellthorpe near Wyndham and now owns Bud, said parrots are incredibly intelligent birds and need quite specialist care, and we certainly had our hands full when she arrived. She was also extremely overweight, weighing in at a hefty 620 grams, more than 200 grams heavier than she should have been. While it's tricky to tell from looking when a parrot is overweight, you could tell when she tried to fly. She would literally drop to the floor. She has the hearing of a bat and can detect a packet of crisps being opened from 4 miles away. Mrs. Shorten and her husband put her on a strict diet, which they also had to follow. It includes fresh vegetables, nuts, and Bud's new favourite food, bananas. Crisps were strictly banned from our house, so she couldn't get hold of any, Mrs. Shorten said. But thankfully, she quickly lost the weight, and she's now much happier as a result. She's loving life and can fly again. It's great to see her soaring around the house.
On Wednesday, 27th of January, a sonic boom heard over Norwich, Wyndham and the surrounding areas was inadvertently caused by an RAF jet, it's been confirmed. The loud bang was heard over the city shortly before midday, causing scores of people to speculate the cause. Many people felt vibrations as the noise was heard, with some saying it felt like an explosion or an earthquake. But there are a number of military aircraft spotted over Norfolk on radar apps, such as Flight Radar 24, causing most to speculate it had been a sonic boom from a jet. The RAF has confirmed this was the case and said it had been caused accidentally by one of its jets. A spokesperson said, "The sonic boom heard in East Anglia was inadvertently caused by an RAF Hawk aircraft completing a high-speed dive as part of an air test schedule. Any inconvenience caused to local residents is regretted." RAF jets don't often break the speed barrier over populated areas and are only ever permitted to do so if given prior authorisation and in extreme circumstances. People from different areas of the city and its suburbs said they heard the sonic boom, with reports from Helsdon, Cossey, Beauthorpe, Taverham and Thorpe Marriott, as well as some people in Wyndham.
Opposition is growing to a move which would mean drivers would need to pay to park at Norwich parks, with people living nearby fearing it will mean cars left on their streets. Norwich City Council, grappling with budget shortfalls of nearly £2 million, is mulling over whether to introduce charges at popular Eaton Park and Waterloo Park. Drivers can currently park there for free, but City Hall says that introducing such charges could raise £50,000 a year and help plug the funding gap. However, the suggestion has sparked opposition from people who fear it will lead to drivers parking their cars in nearby residential streets instead of paying the fee and display paying the pay and display fees. The Friends of Waterloo Park have put up posters in the park urging people to contact the City Council to express their opposition to the suggestion. Jeff Jordan, one of the Friends of Waterloo Park, said, "The thing about Waterloo Park is the parking there is pretty good. There's 50 spaces there. Everyone we have spoken to says it's a bad idea. I've spoken to the school, to residents, and to people walking their dogs in the park. There is currently some £36,000 of investment in the refurbishment of the cafe, but if there's not free parking, I think that would be a deterrent to somebody taking the cafe on. Mr. Jordan said, clearly there's a case for charging for parking, and the City Council are strapped for cash, but I'm not sure this is worth the harm it would do.
This week marked 50 years since one of Norwich's most recognisable buildings, City Hall, became a listed building. The building, which houses Norwich City Council and Norfolk Constabulary's Bethel Street Police Station, was first listed with Historic England on January 29, 1971, more than three decades after it was first opened. One of the finest English municipal buildings to be constructed during the interwar period, City Hall was initially designed in 1931 by architects James and Pierce, who fended off competition from 142 other entrants in a public contest. In the 19th century, local government offices had been based at the medieval Guild Hall and in municipal buildings, but it had been decided that a more modern home was needed. That site overlooking Market Place had been selected as an ideal spot to develop the new home of the local authority, as it was central to the city, and so work began on the five-storey building in 1937. It was completed a year later, built in a classical style with Art Deco detailing. King George V and Queen Elizabeth the Queen Mother were invited to open the building in front of a huge turnout of locals.
A Norwich postmaster who has spent nearly five decades serving his community has retired. Paul Wallace, who runs the Earlham Green Lane Post Office, has been working in the post office since he was a teenager and retired last Wednesday after 48 years. Mr. Wallace started alongside his uncle, Donnie Strivens, when he ran the post office in Lovelace Lane, when the estate opened after the Second World War. The family has been renting from the co-op for seven decades and moved to Earlham site 17 years ago. In September, the postmaster was concerned there would be no one to take over the thriving post office, prompting a community petition signed by 900 people. The co-op did not take on the ownership of the post office, which was sold through Humberstone to the new buyer. On Wednesday, Mr. Wallace said he became emotional at the comments and presents from customers who dropped by to wish him well. Post office employee Mike Coe, who has worked in the post office for 50 years, also retired and is looking forward to spending time with his two grandchildren.
The owner of a butcher's has shared his dismay after vandals targeted his shop, daubing "Meat is Murder" in paint outside. Staff at Frank Spurgeon Family Butchers on Unthank Road were stunned to find its window smashed and the slogan spray-painted on the pavement outside when they arrived on Saturday morning. Director Jack Spurgeon said staff were left shaken up by the incidents and said it was disappointing as they tried to keep business going during lockdown. "We completely understand that people feel very strongly about the issue and people are very entitled to have different opinions. But it's so disappointing they've targeted a family-run business like ours. There are many better ways to make a point than this," he said.
A retired couple are battling with a council over a massive Scots pine they want to cut down to avoid getting hurt by falling branches. Kate and Roy Ferris of South Avenue, Thorpe St Andrew, awoke to find their car's roof dented and wing mirror smashed after a large branch fell off overnight in bad weather. They say the towering tree in the front garden regularly sheds heavy branches. They say their gardener was almost struck on the head a while ago and fear for their six grandchildren, who before COVID would play in the front garden. When the couple moved into the bungalow 10 years ago, they quickly realised the tree on their land was a hazard and asked for Broadland District Council to cut it down. But the council slapped a tree preservation order on it, meaning it was illegal to remove it. even after a costly appeal, the council refused to overturn the TPO, and the couple have dodged its branches ever since. When contacted by this newspaper, Broadland District Council advised the couple to ask for an inspection from a qualified tree surgeon immediately.
A drink driver led police on a 25-mile chase before finally losing control and ploughing into a verge. Luke Allen, a disqualified driver, refused to stop when police attempted to pull him over on Pfeiffer's Lane in Old Catton in the early hours of December 28th, Norwich Crown Court was told. His attempts to flee saw him pass through Wroxham, Salhouse and Acle, with police behind him in hot pursuit. But when he reached South Walsham, he lost control of his Ford Fiesta and crashed into a roadside verge where officers arrested him. And prosecutor John Farmer said the 26-year-old hit speeds of up to 100 miles an hour as he tried to lose the chasing officers. He said, "Fortunately, this happened at 10 past four in the morning, so the amount of traffic was very light. He was disregarding all the rules of the road and was a continuous source of danger." When arrested, Allen admitted to police he was drunk and had taken cocaine and told officers that he was sorry. Judge Bacon imposed a 3-year driving ban and a 15-month jail sentence, suspended for 22 months. Judge Bacon also ordered him to do 250 hours unpaid work.
A paralysed Guinness World Record holder will be challenging himself to walk 224,000 steps this month for the NHS using a robotic suit. Simon Kindlysides, 36, from Blowfield, is aiming to complete 4 miles a day on a variety of terrains in his ReWalk exoskeleton, which he has to operate himself by tilting his arms, which activates his hips. The father of three, who became the fastest man to complete the London Marathon independently in a robotic walking suit in 2018, is doing his latest challenge for the Norfolk and Norwich Hospitals charity as a thank you to hospital staff. He said, "I want to give something back. They have saved my life numerous times after I had seizures from a brain tumour. I want to show my children that you should not give up. If you are going through dark times, you can always help someone who is worse off than you. They think I'm crazy, but I'm determined. If someone says I should not do something, I'll do it anyway." Mr. Kindlysides said it was hard work operating the 100,000-pound robotic suit, which weighs 25 kilograms, and was bought for him by an anonymous benefactor. "If people see a robotic man flying through the air like Mary Poppins, they will know the wind has picked up," Mr. Kindlysides added.